Hey, everybody. That is Gary Smith. That is Cass Kenny.
Kapow!
And I am Eddie Bramble, and this is episode 31 of the Blackwater's Edge podcast.
I'm trying to get to 31,000.
It'd be nice to get there, though.
That'd take a long time, dude. I don't know if I'm going to live that long, but it'd be a fun run anyway.
You're going to get me mounted if I'm going to do that one.
All right, Kaz, why don't you start us off with this week's fish report?
If I can stop laughing, I will. We've had a lot of fun before we started this show today. All right, so fishing-wise, nothing's really changed too much. Few bass here and there. Lots of snakeheads being caught. Hot. The water, we've seen the water as high as 102 degrees, believe it or not. I had another guy tell me yesterday he saw it at 106 in an area. So that's some pretty hot water, man. You know what I mean? We could be boiling our fish that we catch right there ditch water. You know?
Catch them after 2 o'clock, they're parboiled.
Right? And if you're near the pavement, just throw them on the pavement on some foil, man. You'll have all the cooked fish you need, but you know, before you go. But so as far as fishing goes, it's just pretty much snakeheads. You know, some guys catch some catfish at night, you know, over in the Nanticoke and few in the Marshy Hope, not many. There's a lot of catfish being caught over at DeCourcy at night, you know, a few over at Griffith's Neck at night, a few at Drawbridge at night. Drawbridge is a really good spot to get some big catfish in the summertime after dark. You know, I like to drift some big chunks of cut bait out there, and I've caught some really, really nice catfish there at that spot particularly. I'm hearing some stuff down Best Pitch, you know, a few trout being caught down there, some white perch, some rockfish under the bridges there. It's just pretty much a little bit of everything everywhere you go. If you get out into the rivers, a little chop tank, the Hong, a place like that, you're going to pick up on some trout. You're going to see a few blues are showing up here and there, small ones, you know, nothing really, really big. We have had reports of croaker are here. They are present. They are not big, but you can catch a few if you put some time in and look around. On the other side of the bay over the power plant, you know, it's rockfish, it's speckled trout, it's a little bit of everything. At James Island, we did hear of a couple nice red drum that were caught off of James Island. We did hear of a cobia that was caught off of James Island. And we did hear of a big 40-plus-pound black drum that was caught off of James Island. So you might want to look around there if you want to do some fishing in the evening time, you know, in the stump fields and stuff like that. There's some really good fishing opportunities there. Slaughter Creek, I mean, pretty much same thing, speckled trout, white perch, rockfish, oyster toads. I like catching oyster toads. I know people don't like them fish, but
brown trout, man.
I just really like them fish. I think they just look grumpy. They look mean. They look ugly, and I love them.
They look like you.
Here's your sign.
I got more freckles.
No, I got to just tell you this real quick. So the other day, I'm sitting there, and I'm jigging in this little corner spot of this bridge, and I keep hooking something big, and it keeps coming off, and I'm like, I just couldn't figure it out. Well, it was an oyster toad, and it was one of the biggest oyster toads I think I've ever caught. That thing was like this big, and I ain't shitting you. I don't understand how this thing hit me. I'm serious. I know it was the same fish, and this is how I know, because when I squeezed his mouth and looked in there, I could see four little tails sticking out of his back of his throat. So I know it was that fish that was pecking me away the whole time. Finally, I did get him, but that's what it was. But like I said, that fish are just so cool. I set them on the ground, look at them, they look like a teardrop, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, that's about everything. There's some needle fish at night if you want to have some fun playing with them. You don't know what you're going to catch, you know. There's some kingfish being caught off of Hooper's Island, too, you know, which is something that we see every summer sometimes. You know, we see some of them kingfish, and they're really good to eat, too. So that's about where I'm with the fishing report. As far as panfish go, the only panfish I've been catching have been in Gary's pond. I haven't caught many out in the refuge. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, well, Kyle Richard caught a nice bass last week. It's a picture of him on Blackwater. Like, caught a bullfrog.
Yep.
And bass and snakehead.
And the bullfrog was fun to see.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. Man, that thing slammed it, too. Hit it once, and he cast it up again, got him on the second one. And he was pulling. It was like up in the grass. He didn't want to give it up. I was like, dad, go on, man. And finally pulled him out of there, and it was a bullfrog.
I have a confession to make. There was a place in Bel Air in Harford County. It was called Harford Glen when I was a kid, and they had this big pier on there that would get all this grass in it, right? I really liked using plastic worms. But in the beginning, using plastic worms, I learned how to catch bullfrogs before I learned to catch fish on plastic worms. Literally, I would sit on this pier, and I would throw, I don't know, 40 or 50 plastic worms into the grass, and literally, you would catch the bullfrogs would just run across the grass to try to catch it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my mom, she would drop me off and I'd go fishing, right? So she dropped me off, I think it was like the third or fourth time. And she come back because I forgot to get my lunch or whatever. And she comes out on the pier. I'm reeling this big old bullfrog. And she's running me, what are you doing? You can't do that. That's not right. You know? I said, well, Mom, I've done caught like 30 in the last 3 days. Oh, man, I got a whap on the top of the head from her. You know what I mean?
Tastes like chicken.
But, yeah, them bullfrogs, they're pretty neat. Oh, I like
that. In case I had a couple people ask me, too, that bullfrog, we didn't leave him in there because it's a lot of snakeheads where we caught him, or where Kyle caught him. He's got a new residence on Town Point Road.
There you go.
Living in nice, clear water.
You mean I might be able to find him after hours with my miner's light?
Yeah. But
might find
like rock salt?
That's what I'm saying. I was waiting for that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's really where everything is with fishing. I know some guys going down the ocean catching some flounder in the inlet. I did see that Marsha got out, and she caught a real nice flounder. I don't know if anybody got to see that picture, but that was a nice doormat. I thought it was a floor mat, not a doormat. You know?
Yeah. Caught a blackfish. Sea bass. Called sea bass, too.
So, well, I mean, that's where we are at the Fishing Report, so that's what I got. Anybody else got anything else?
No. Well, so this week we have a very special guest on the podcast, and it is Damien Tall from the
My Man D.
Woo-hoo. How you doing today, Damien?
All right. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here.
Man, I haven't seen you guys in a while, it seems like.
Ain't much changed. We all look the same pretty much.
We know better than calling them in a trap. Yeah.
I'm sure you know exactly where to find me, though. But
So, Damien, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself real quick?
My name's Damien Tall. I was born and raised most of my life in Cordova, Maryland, Talbot County, near the Tuckahoe River. Worked for my father all my life, 35 years now, drilling wells here on the Eastern Shore. And have two children, have a beautiful wife, three stepdaughters, two dogs.
Can't forget the dogs.
Yeah, and I can't forget the dogs, huh? They're hard to forget. It's pretty much me.
You've drilled you've done a lot of well work for a lot of people here. I mean, I hear the Tall name all the time when I talk to anybody here about, you know, you, or I hear something about wells, I always hear that name come up. So your family, you guys have been doing this for a long time. You said 35 years. It's been a long run for you, man. What do you think? Do you think it's something you want to do forever, or do you think that this bait venture is something that you're getting into, or, you know?
I love the bait thing. I mean, you know, I really enjoy. I'm used to being outside. I can only be outside, but yeah, I enjoy it. I get off work, you know, and I look forward to going out in the evenings and getting eat up by the bugs and getting in the ditch. It's
our
just nice.
Part of the
day. It's just nice to pull minnow traps and have something in them, you know.
I don't think people really realize a lot of what goes on with you during the day, you know, like being on the other side and us all working together with the Bait Boys and branding that business and doing that. You know, we've all helped each other. And then there's lots of times when people reach out to me in the afternoon, they say, man, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of Damien for 2 hours, you know, but I can't get a hold of him. And what people need to understand is that even though that you do this bait thing and you're harvesting these minnows, that you have a responsibility also to the clients that are from the well business. So when somebody calls you and you're out there potting on the side of the road and you have to leave and you have to go and repair a pump or you have to get an electric line straight or something like that to make sure that your people have running water, cold and hot water. I mean, people need to understand that, you know, Damien is not just catching minnows for snakehead fishing, but he's also got the other side of the well business that he has to deal with too.
Well, it's all of us. We all have day
right.
jobs.
Absolutely. Right. Well, the reason I want to just say that is because I get a lot of text messages. Hey, I've messaged Damien for an hour and I can't get a hold of him. And a lot of times that's why you can't get a hold of Damien, is because he's got something else going on. It's not that he doesn't want to sell you minnows, or not that he's interested in getting it to you. You know what I mean? But my point is that we all have so much going on that I just don't think people realize all the things that we do to make this thing flow as a whole. You know what I'm saying? So, and I mean, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I mean, it seems like we're supplying, there's a lot of anglers. I don't even want to think about it. A lot of anglers counting on bait, you know.
Everybody
loves to fish, you know. They got to have bait when they're ready to go. So.
I was thinking one day, you know, I mean, when you were out there doing some potting over the summer or over the spring, early spring, I wonder how many minnows we've actually put out
oh, my.
In the rotation for anglers. You know what I mean? It's
well, they got a
that number's got to be like, just sick.
They got a contract, don't you?
They're catching on to us too. It seems like. You know, you got to keep chasing them because they definitely swim. They don't stay in the same spot long.
Yeah, Louis the Big Minnow is gonna come visit you one.
Well, I'll tell you what, some of them minnows that we had, we was lipping it. They just about big enough. They could put a little knot on your head if they wanted to. I guess
there are some beautiful minnows in Dorchester County. I'll tell you.
Awesome. And it's not just minnows that you're doing. You've kind of upped the game a little bit. You're doing some more things. You know, you've kind of taken your platform, you know, from minnows to another level. So, I mean, if anglers are looking to get stuff for bait, as far as like you know, different kinds of bait, what kind of bait is the Bait Boys now offering to the public if they need that? I know you got minnows. Let's talk about some of the other things that you have available.
Oh, started carrying live eels. There's been a pretty good demand on live eels because of all the cobia. The cobia are coming up out of the ocean and coming up there around Hooper's Island, and now it seems like they backed off a little bit down towards Virginia a little more. So guys are using a lot of eels for that. And the peelers, do peelers and soft crabs when available. It's just the crab business has been so rough this year, and those guys, you know, are really depending upon shedding their peelers into soft crabs to make their living because the crabs just aren't here. And it's just what I've seen is just real salty water, and it's like.
You know, we were talking last week. You were telling me about some of the things, and this is kind of like the coolest thing that I like about trapping bait. You know, we get to see stuff in the ditch that just people just don't ever even get to see, like species of fish wise, you know what I mean? And this year, I think that we've gotten to see a lot. Now, we're definitely potting some different areas outside of the refuge, so we're obviously going to see different species of fish than what we're used to seeing. But I think the coolest thing this year for us is we've gotten an opportunity to see this year baby spot, baby croaker, baby redfish, baby black drum, baby cobia, baby all kinds of stuff. So, Damien, I know last week you were talking about telling me some of the stuff that you were getting in the pot. What are some of the things that have been memorable this year that you have gotten in the pot that you remember seeing?
I like down there pretty much toward the most southern point of Dorchester County. This year I was a lot of little red drum. A lot of little red drum. I mean, it seems like the baby spot, like you're saying, they're everywhere. I've never seen anything like it, you know, grading through them, pulling all the spot back out and putting them back, you know, to make it another day. And it's pretty hard. You got to be quick with them, especially in the heat, you know, to save the little guys. But the red drum, that's the fish that I like the most. They're probably 3 or 4 inches long.
Yep. I know you were telling about it last week and you were really excited about it. And I was just thinking about when I was potting over around like the Madison Bay area and some of those tributaries over there and like a lot of the different stuff we were getting earlier in the season. And I still actually have that blue spotted bluegill that I got that day when me and you were over there trapping that day.
Nice.
You know, I still have that little tank. I went and bought me a little tank from Walmart for like $19.99 because supposedly they're really hard to find. I figured, well, you know, I'll keep it live and grow it anyway, you know, whatever.
That was a cool fish, man. It was really cool.
It was. So, Damien, we know you like fishing. We know we don't get lots of opportunities to fish like we used to do because of the things that we're doing now. None of us do. Eddie doesn't. Gary doesn't. I mean, you know, we've all got stuff that we're doing other than our normal 9-to-5 stuff.
A lot of fishing.
You know? Yeah, you do.
That's right.
You do. But what for you, Damien, growing up, tell us like, what was like the first fish that you'd like to go catch? I mean, is there a memorable trip or maybe a trip that sticks out in your mind? Maybe when you were younger, you know, maybe. You know, a trip that might have, like, got that fire going for you on a certain kind of fish or something like that? Or did you just like fishing, period? I mean, what was it?
Yeah, I was in the Cordova area. Like I said, we had the Tuckahoe River, which is really, really fresh, you know, no crabs or anything like that. You got a lot of catfish and the perch run. You get some white perch and some yellow perch and a lot of eels. But as a young child, I was brought up in Cordova where it's a lot of irrigation ponds for farming, and they were always stocked with bass and bluegills. So I rode my bike. I would always ride my bike 6 miles, and I remember my first dog. I would carry my dog. It'd be 100 degrees, and I'd ride my bike, carry my fishing pole and my tackle box, and go 7 miles and have a bottle of water for my dog and go fishing and ride my bike back home.
Some old man sitting in a rocking chair going, that's who it was.
I'm just sitting here thinking about the dedication to the dog, because I don't even know I'm that dedicated to my dog, because I'm going to throw him on a bicycle for another 7 miles.
I always wonder who that kid was.
I hope they can run 7 miles because they ain't riding on my lap. No, I'm just kidding.
We really caught some big bass back in them days. Me and my friends, we caught so many bass. Oh, well over 10-pound bass. And it was like nothing to catch. Yeah. 4, 5, 10-pound and over bass.
Oh, farm ponds were the best.
They were great, man. They were absolutely wonderful.
I tell you, one of the good things about the ponds here is that, you know, a lot of these ponds here don't get the pressure that a lot of public places would get, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they have the opportunity to get really, really big because they don't see the pressure. And a lot of times an uncontrolled food chain will produce at least one or two massive fish out of that cycle. You know what I mean?
And plenty of food, frogs and whatever, you know, because it's fields around most of them, and the only grass places where it stays damp where frogs can survive is right around the pond. So,
what other kind of fishing did you like growing up, Damien, besides pond fishing? Did you do any cat fishing, rock fishing, anything?
A lot of cat fishing there in the Tuckahoe, ride my bike down there also. That wasn't as far. I was probably only about 3 miles. 3 miles to the river. The ponds were about 7. A lot of cat fishing down there. I used to hate to catch eels. And loads of gigantic eels. And they're just twisting and twisting and twisting nonstop. So now we're selling a few. And they're not too bad, you know. And we're selling some peelers, like I said. And getting ready to open the market up on a little bit of grass shrimp here. We're going to try that out. And next couple of days, it's been real hot, so I haven't been able to get any shrimp. They went down deep and so hot on them, so now it looks like they're rising up a little bit and might be able to get some of them. And maybe the next thing, if it's like with bait sales, you need to have everything. You don't need to have a lot of everything, but you need to have a little bit of everything.
You don't have to tell me. That's the story of my life in this store.
You know, I think it's talking about eels real quick before I forget. You know, you're talking about, you know, when we were kids, I was the same way. I couldn't stand an eel, man. You know, like I couldn't stand an eel. And I hate to say it, you know, I mean, as a kid, you know, I was kind of just taught that they weren't really, there was no value that I was taught to the eel as a child. So that eel didn't have any value to me, you know, so it was nothing to me just to cut its head off and throw it in the water. You know, now today, here we are, you know, 40 years later in our lives, and eels have value.
Exactly.
And I guess what my point is, you know, as a child, you know, we're introduced to lots of things, and as a child, they don't have value. And later in life, we find out that these things in life that didn't have value have massive value. And my point is, you know, think about back then, you're looking at you like, ew, is that nasty eel. Today, you'd be like, dude, get that eel right there. It's $1.25, bro.
You got that.
I got news for you. I don't care what it is. I ain't touching it. It's too much like a snake.
And I tell you, I tell you the truth, though. When I put them in my tanks at home, you know, I have 50 pounds, and I put there in one of my 300-gallon totes. And, you know, but sit there and watch them. The eel, they're pretty neat. They're pretty neat little guys, man. They are pretty neat to watch, you know. It's something different, you know. You get to basing everything on minnow, and then you get to sit there and see something different, you know. So I enjoy it. Anything to keep me busy, I think, you know, I'm happy. If I'm busy, I'm happy.
I think that's the key for all of us. I think when we're all busy, we're doing fine. We're all sitting still, we're kind of stir crazy because we don't know what to do next, you know.
Yes.
What's the weirdest thing you ever caught in a minnow trap?
Jellyfish. I'm saying that, Gary, because this year that water in the ditches is so salty. The salinity in the ditch is the same as it is in the center of the bay, which is 12 parts per million, which is half of the salinity of the Red Sea. I know this because I used to do saltwater reef tanks as a youngster, and, you know, coral reef tanks, and the salinity was always 24 on them. And the salinity in the ditches, I was having problems. You know, I was taking the minnows and taking them right straight fresh to fresh well water and losing a lot. I'm like, what is going on? Couldn't figure it out. I said, maybe they're spawning or maybe this, maybe that. Just running and running through my head. And I said, take your salinity tester to that ditch that you have with your fish tank and dip some of that water and see what the salt level is. And I did that, and I almost fell on the ground. I could not believe it.
How about little flounder? Have you seen a little flounder this year at all in any of your traps yet?
No, I haven't seen the first one. Hmm. Nope.
How about speckled trout? You ever catch any little speckled trout?
Yes, yeah, a lot of little speckled trout.
That's a good sign.
Yep. I was catching them over near the Taylor's Island side.
Yeah, that's a fun fish there, buddy.
Yeah, there's a lot of catch.
There's been some really, really big speckled trout this year. I mean, I can't believe the grade of speckled trout. I don't understand it. You know,
it's definitely been a good year for speckled so far.
I think it's probably the most unfished fish resource in the Chesapeake Bay.
But you know what?
Because you have to specifically fish for them. You still catch some, but if you want to catch a lot of them, you got to specifically fish for them. Well, most people don't.
I know Wayne Brown can tell you that, you know, that speckled trout, like, how can I explain it? Like, I've been through these phases in life with, like, certain fish where, I caught them and I just was, like, so intrigued by them that I had to figure them out. And speckled trout was one of them. And I'll tell you what, you would not believe the amount of speckled trout that are in, like, just the Hunger River. And I don't mean mass by size. I mean numbers, just the numbers that are in there. And, like, as soon as I would catch my first speckled trout in Slaughter Creek, I knew I had to get down to the Hunger River. I knew that if I just put some time in, like you said, Gary, I could find them. Yeah. And the way that I found speckled trout, believe it or not, back in the day, was I would use the same kind of weighted bobber setup that we use for the snakeheads, but I wouldn't use a hook or live bait. I would actually put a twister tail on a jig head underneath of that, and I would throw that. And, like, I would have him, he would just take me out there so I could find him. He didn't even fish. You know, we'd pull up into the mouth of, like, a branch going back in, and I'd start casting with that bobber. And I knew if I could find one or two out there small on that bobber, then I knew they were in that branch. That's how easy it was to find them. Then the trick was trying to figure out how to get away from these little tiny dinkers.
Get the big one.
Because I'd see the big ones come swimming sideways with the little ones as I'm reeling them to the boat, you know, just swimming with them. So I knew there were bigger trout there. So I knew we've always had big trout, you know, here in the rivers, but I've never seen it the magnitude that it has been this year, not just in the Hunger, but in the Little Chop, the Big Chop, the Slaughter Creek, you know, all them places like that. There's big trout everywhere, man. Yeah. I mean, you stop on any bridge and just get there and fish a pylon as the tide's going through, your chances are probably 60% or better this year to come out with a nice trophy-sized trout, you know what I mean?
I used to use spinnerbaits a lot for them. If you can get a sand bottom or even hard clay, bump it off the bottom as it goes along, they will slam it.
I used to save all my spinnerbaits back in the day when the skirts would, like, foul out of them or dry rot or whatever, and then I would same thing you're saying. You would be amazed how many rockfish, and I mean nice rockfish, you can catch on a spinnerbait.
Mr. Twister, buddy.
With a Mr. Twister on it, or I would take from, you had them downstairs a couple years ago, them 4-inch rubber shad bodies, you know what I'm talking about, and I would... had the sassy shads or something. I don't know what they were. They were like
the gummy shads?
No, the gummy shads had the head thing on it that went on the jig head. Not those. These were like just like the sassy shad or like the shad body they put on those parachutes downstairs. But smaller. Oh, yeah. Smaller. Yeah. You had the 4-inchers. Mm-hmm. You had them in here. You used to have a crate of them down there. And I remember I bought all the rest of the ones you had because up in Conowingo Dam, those sassy shads were like the most money thing on rockfish. So I got to thinking one day in Blackwater, bass fishing, I'm like, man, them rockfish really like them sassy shad. Why wouldn't them big bass in Blackwater eat that big sassy shad? So I started taking that 4 and 6 inch sassy shad that you had downstairs, put it on a tandem spinner bait or on a you know, just hooking it through the head a little bit and letting that fish swim with the blade. My God, man. I mean, I caught some giant rockfish over 335 in the fall doing that, and I got to tell you right now, bass-wise, back when that was a long time ago. I'm probably 8-9 years ago when I'm talking about doing this. I caught some giant bass on that. And I was laying in bed the other night thinking about it. I haven't really tried that for, like, snakeheads. And I'm willing to bet that if I take that 4 to 6 inch shad body and throw that on a right-size head with a big spinner, like the big musky spinner baits, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like those big musky. But you got to have a lighter head, man. You're not going to be able to. An ounce isn't what you want. Like, I think you want, like, a half or a quarter, you know, because you want to be able to throw far, but you want to have a big enough body, big enough, you know, bait, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I just think that that's something that I want to try, and I just started thinking about
that's what I've been doing with Daryl Spire baits, basically. Is that right? Bumping them off the bottom, yeah.
I was going to say, that's your favorite trick, bumping.
I'm telling you.
Gary's a little bump and grind, bro.
When they won't hit anything else, it's either MEPS or those things, because especially if it's deeper water.
Mm-hmm.
They just.
So, Damien, we know that you like fishing. There's some other things I know. I heard you like to shoot a couple deer here and there back in the day, and I heard you might have had a gutted deer once or twice.
Oh, yeah. You I'm country.
So,
believe that.
So the reason I just want to bring that up is because we know you drill wells, we know you catch bait, but let's talk about you as a butcher, because I heard Damien Tall is one hell of a butcher.
Oh, yeah, man. I was skinning deer. I was a little. There was a butcher shop in Cordova. As a young kid, I was down there all the time.
Rode your bike there, too.
No, I could walk down to that one. Yeah,
that was only bike. 2 miles.
Yeah. I could walk that far. Yeah, I did a lot of skinning deer there. Back when I used to skin deer there, I would get paid $1 a deer to skin the deer. And, wow.
That's where you made your first million.
Yeah. $1 a piece. So, I used to skin probably before Christmas, I would probably have skinned like 400 to 500, and I would use that money. I remember that specifically because I would use that money. The old man that owned the butcher shop, I would use that money. He would take me to Christmas shopping with him to do his Christmas shopping for his family.
That's cool.
And I
man.
Would take my money that I had that he gave me for the 300 to 400 deer, and I would buy Christmas presents for my parents.
Look
with
at you,
yeah.
man.
That was cool. Yeah, that was really good times back then.
So where did you go Christmas shopping at?
It was Dover Mall.
Dover Mall.
Dover Mall, yeah.
That's some cool shit, dude. Yeah,
when you're a kid, malls are
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So, what's the future hold for Damien Toll? What does Damien want to do from here? What has he thought about?
Damien wants to be happy, which I am. Catch bait, which I am.
I mean, your long-term goal, and is the bait thing what you think you want to do? Is that
oh, right? Most definitely, yes. I'm not. There's no way I can stop this now.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What do you enjoy more, working on wells or bait?
Bait, oh, 100%. Yeah. Bait all the way.
So do you have a mini bucket list? I just had to ask.
Yeah, actually, I do. And I'm sure it ain't all going to get done either.
I think the coolest thing is that your family helps you out a lot, too.
Yeah.
You know, your wife helps you out. Your son helps you out. I mean,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, this isn't Kaz, isn't Damien, isn't Cornflower. It's a crew of all of us. And I think we said it in the beginning when we formed the circle that we were going to hold the circle, and we've been able to do that, and we've been able to stay true to the goals that we set in the beginning. And, you know, as with any business, as time goes on, goals change and your thoughts change. And I think that you've done a wonderful job. And nice. I think that the opportunities that are coming for you are big and bold. And I think that you're going to do the right thing, and you're going to handle it just fine. And I know that we've watched you for how many years now, Eddie? 3, 4 now, anyway?
It's been quite a few years.
You know, and I think the coolest thing for all of us, for me too, I mean, with Gary, with Eddie, with you, with Cornflower, is to watch everybody and how far and how things have changed and how much we've grown and how much this thing's coming together. And I think that's like the neatest thing for me. I've said it 100 times. It's not, we're not becoming millionaires, I can tell you that. So, you know, everybody thinks that we got all this money. This is all about money. We're getting all this money from the county and everything. That's not the case.
It's definitely not coming from the county.
No. So, I've got past those dream days of becoming a millionaire.
So, that's the thing. I think the real reward for all of us, it's not the financial. I mean, everybody would love to have the financial, you know, but I think the biggest reward for all of us is that we've been able to build great relationships amongst ourselves. We've became quite a family, you know what I mean? And it's not just us in this room. It's pretty much snakeheadlife.com. It's Blackwater's Edge. It's the Bait Boys. It's everything as a whole, you know what I mean?
Denton Rod and Tackle, yeah, Angler, Rod and Tackle. Short Sportsman.
Yeah, let's talk
Rusty,
about that too while we're sitting
Rusty
here.
Rusty Hook, everybody.
So if anglers want to buy Snakehead Destroyers to go snakehead fishing with, where can they currently buy that product from?
They can buy from Anglers. which is on the other side.
And they're
the
probably right your biggest distributor for you, right?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. And also Benton Rod and Tackle. He's been with us from the beginning, ever since day one. He's stuck right with me. And I've been through some ups and downs, just like you will with anything you do in life. You know, there's ups and downs. And I'm just very thankful that those guys, you know, didn't give up on me. You know, they kept believing in me. And Sure Sportsman, Rusty Hook in East. And I'd like to get some down towards Salisbury way, some business down that way. They say, I talked to a lot of people that fish for snakeheads, and they say that there's not much bait down in the Salisbury
area. So if anybody down in Salisbury wants to open up a snakehead destroyer distribution, we would really be interested in working with somebody on that kind of level, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's our goal here is, like you said, it's not finance. It's about getting the bait to the people that want to go fishing, keeping the bait healthy from the day you catch it till the day it goes in their bucket for them to use.
You always tell me you're only as good as your bait, right?
Exactly right. Rotten bait ain't going to catch much. And fresh bait will.
And I know that you've had a lot of people from up the bay that have been calling you and asking you where they can buy product up there. And, you know, I think that I think the next move for you is that you want to start looking up the bay. And I think if anybody out there, tackle shop or anything like that, you know, if you're interested in distributing the snakehead destroyers, we're very interested in giving you a quote or coming out and letting you see what the bait looks like or anything like that. And we would really like to expand our horizons and try to get some product up there to the Upper Bay, Susquehanna Valley, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I know that Damien will do everything he can to make sure that it happens. And if you're a tackle shop and you're out there, we want to help you too. You know, it's not about us. We want to make sure that you're doing good too. So, you know, I think that's kind of the next place you want to look is kind of that direction, right? You want to go up the bay. You want to, I mean, we want to look at some of the places up in Jersey that are starting to get some snakehead numbers in Philly. So we know the market's going to expand, and we want to look in some of those areas so that if there are anybody out there that's interested, please feel free to reach out to Damien. Damien, what's a good phone number that people can get to you if they want to call you?
410-200-0081.
A lot of zeros, isn't
that? Got a time frame with that?
I say 6 a.m., you know, and usually people call right up to about dark.
Now, let's clarify a little something real quick, because a lot of people constantly ask us about delivery, okay? So it's not that we don't want to deliver bait. What people need to understand is that if we've got somebody running to you to deliver bait and we've got somebody trying to pick up bait over here, we don't have two people at each location to handle that kind of traffic. So if you can just kind of just bear with us, you know, for Damien, it's easier for you to come there and pick it up, or for him to schedule you for a time to pick up or something like that. And I know that as soon as the weather is cooperative and salt and all this stuff works out, that we'll get him back in here, the Wolford store again, so that we can pick him up here, and that'll alleviate some of the pressure from you at your house and some of the pressure on your family.
Absolutely.
So we definitely want to expand on some of the get some on the bigger minnow horizons. I think, Eddie, that we want to make sure, I know we're coming up on 30 minutes, let's start talking about some of the parking issues, what's been going on, what's happened, what's transpired, absolutely. Because you had a phone call from Dave the other day,
right? Okay. I talked to a man at the county highway department the other day. We are officially opening all of our spots again. Parking is allowed only on one side now. And that's what we established. That was the compromise we came to.
Which is better than no side.
Absolutely. You know? That's 100% better than no parking in all these spots. That's the main issue. But here's the thing, guys. Act right. Get off the road when you're parking. Make sure you're all the way off. Make sure you're courteous to the people driving by. Make sure you're being a good person. Leaving the room for the traffic to get by. Otherwise, these places are going to get shut down again.
If the man's coming down the road in a combine and he stops his combine and he says, "Hey, bub, I can't get by you. Would you mind moving your car?" And you say, "Eat crap and go to snakehead land," he's not going to like that very much, and that's going to create problems. So the best thing that you can do as a visitor is, if there is an issue with getting equipment down the road, is just move the goddamn car and put it back after the equipment goes by. There's no sense in cussing a farmer out like he's doing the wrong thing driving his equipment down the road. That's going to cause a lot of problems. The trash is not so much the issue. The trash is
We've been working on the trash for years now, yeah. And we've got it under control
we've
for the
most
part.
We've got that.
Yeah.
I still have trash cans from the first day we started, and we've maintained that.
Exactly.
There's no trash at any of our spots. Our snakehead anglers that come here to visit Dorchester County, I'm telling you, they are a very respectful group of people.
I agree with you.
A total different group of people than we see in other areas fishing for other species where there is large amounts of trash in Dorchester County.
And another thing is, if you're fishing on a bridge,
mm-hmm.
just because he can get by your car, if there's people on both sides of the bridge, if the guy's coming at you, look which side he's driving from.
Exactly.
If you're on the other side of the bridge, then walk over, lay your rod down against the edge of the bridge and walk over to the other side. He can see you. He can't see you from his blind side. He's got to be able to go by. It's just a courteous thing. And it's safety for you, too, man. You won't get hit by a combine.
I mean, in the beginning, everybody was upset about what happened. But people have to understand what happened because of a reason. It wasn't just an unjustifiable reason. This all stemmed from one action of one person who refused to move their vehicle for a combine and decided they wanted to cuss the man out because he was trying to do his job and asked them to move their vehicle.
Right.
So that's just not acceptable, man. I don't care where the hell you are. That's not acceptable, and it's not acceptable here. You know, if you can't move your car for the farmer, then just don't come here and fish. That's all.
Well, not just the farmer, for anybody. Yeah, I mean, anybody. You got to be.
Yes.
You've got to be doing the right thing.
Right. And one other thing is now, since there's only parking on one side,
right,
there's limited space. If you get there late, that's on you.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And if you park in the road with your tires on the road you're in front of a no parking sign because all the other places are eat up, you are going to get a ticket.
We walked with the county and we walked areas off and we looked at areas.
A half a day.
I mean, this is the thing that kills me, okay? And I'm just going to say it. People can get pissed at me or whatever they want to do. Everybody's quick to throw some kind of Debbie Downer comment in the comments. Somebody's real quick to blame somebody or point a finger. But you know what? While all y'all sit there and been blaming people, pointing fingers, and doing everything, and not doing a damn thing but bitching, we have been spending our free time to rectify the situation. I'm not even out there fishing. I'm selling crabs, man. You know what I mean? What do I care if they send you home and don't let you park? You know what I mean? It's nothing. There's nothing. There's no value in it to me. The value in it is to the angler. The value in it is to the county. And if the county wants to see the value in it and the angler wants to see the value in it, then we all need to work together. That's the bottom line.
That's right.
I mean, every area we went to, we made sure that we could get at least 5 to 10 vehicles in each area, and the county agreed that we could do that. So if having 15 parking spots at every area, you know, This is a beginning for us, and the county realizes after we've talked to them how important it is for us to fish for the fish, and how important it is for us to be proactive, and how important it is for us to try to be that person that makes a difference in the future of the refuge, okay? Whether we can or not, that's neither here nor there, okay? So I'm not getting into any of that. The bottom line is, you know, if it just burns me up, man, that somebody's real quick to be negative, you know, about what we're doing, when they're doing nothing at all.
So I want to take you right there, brother, and I want to tell you, from me to you, thank you. Thank you for all your time, because you do both put in a lot of time and talk to a lot of people. And I remember when it all first started, how, like you said, it was a pretty tense situation, and but you guys handle it.
Death threats coming at me in the beginning. And they were threatening to blow my house up, shoot me, and throw me off the bridge with cinder blocks on my feet. I mean, it was ridiculous. But no, I mean, I'm glad that I can do it. I'm not saying it. I'm not bitching that I'm doing it at all. I'm very grateful that I've had the opportunity to do the things I've been able to do. I think we all are. I think the bottom line and the point we're trying to make is, if we want to continue to have access and we want to continue to ask for permission and get permission, then we need to all just start doing the right thing.
Doing the right, that's exactly right.
If you can't get your car in an area, man, open up your Google Maps, drive around, look and see what else is available in the area. There's not just one place to fish here.
There are plenty of places to fish here. You just have to take the time, do your research, make sure it's a public area, not a private pond that you don't have access to, and just make sure that you're being courteous to everybody else on the road. That's the main thing. And like Gary said, if you're on the bridge, make sure that there's still room for the cars to get by, because it's important to keep these roadways open.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you a question while we're talking about all that. You meet a lot more people than I do. I just meet the ones that basically I take fishing or I run into in the store. What's your general meeting when you meet people selling minnows? It's pretty positive, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And there you go. I can say the same thing. I've not had a negative problem yet.
No. These people, that's what I say. These are the people that I've seen, every person that I've seen that comes here to visit to fish for snakeheads is nothing but respect. Nothing but. I know we have the only issue that we have, if you think about it, they are so respectful. The only issue, like Kat is saying, that we have was that one incident. We've never had a trash problem. We've never had any problem except that one problem arose with parking. And that's something that can be worked out. We just have a lot of people and we just don't have much shoulders and are nowhere to park. We're in marshland.
I hate to say it, but
they brought their own menace.
There's not the numbers of snakeheads in a lot of other areas like there are here. Not saying the numbers ain't coming up. Not saying y'all ain't going to have the numbers. But obviously, people know this is the epicenter. People know this is the rebirth of slick, whatever you want to call it. So they want to come here and they want to go fishing. And again, before I forget, if you type in the comments right now, I want that hat, we're going to give you that hat right now from the Bait Boys. So anyway, as I was talking about the parking, the biggest thing is, like I said, you got to be smart. You've got to use your good judgment. I mean, if your tires are on the road, 2 inches, 1 inch, an eighth of an inch, you know, you're getting a ticket, man. You know, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry how we're going to do it here now. You know, if you're off the road, you're good to go. And even like at Newbridge, I mean, we took the signs down on the other side of the bridge to open up some more parking over there. I mean, each of the locations that we went to, I mean, we pretty much sat there and we kind of pled our side. They pled our side. And it was beautiful, man, if you ask me. Oh, the relationship that we established county. That yeah. day, you know.
The county did a great job just listening to what we were talking about. And understood where we were coming from, and we're willing to come to a compromise on everything.
And Jay has been texting me and saying, hey, man, you know, how's everything going? Is there anything else that we need to do? Is there anything else that we see? So, you know, I have to also – we also have to say thanks to the county council for stepping up and helping us
absolutely.
Back. You know what I mean? Because in the beginning, everybody was kind of upset because we didn't know what was going on. And I think that the greatest thing was that, you know, we all came together and we all showed the community that as a whole, we can make a difference. You know what I mean?
That's right. I mean, they responded. Well, we were at their next meeting. I mean, yep. you can't, after we wrote a letter to them, you can't ask for any more than that.
That's why we say, we love Dorchester County.
TJ Henson got that hat, but whoever wants this shirt, go ahead and type in the comments, I want that shirt. And we'll give you that shirt, too. You can pick that up here at Wolford's store, too. We'll give you something there for that. Eddie, while we're talking about some things,
Is that?
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. So Damien likes a certain brand of reels, so we brought these reels in here after we were talking to him about it. And Eddie likes these things, too, and I've got mine on the way. So, well, here, why don't you go ahead and show him in the camera what kind of reel you like to use.
I know this is Damien's favorite.
This is Damien's favorite.
Yeah, this is my favorite. This is Daiwa Tatula. It's like the lightest reel, and I'm pretty OCD when it comes to things. I probably got one of every reel they make, but these Daiwa Tatula, whether it be bait caster or spinning series, for the money, the quality is the best reel that
Tony,
money
you can't
can
win
buy.
Twice.
Best reel that money can buy, in my opinion. So I'm not very good with bait casters, but I do own a couple just so I could have them.
So we do have the Tatulas here in stock right now, Eddie. Absolutely. We're out of the spinning reels, correct? We sold them
out
pretty fast.
Yeah, very
fast. We've got them coming back. And a lot of customers asking about restock. What are we looking like on restock with stuff? Have we heard anything from anybody or where we're at? I know we're running low on a lot of shit in here, dude.
We're running very low right now, as everybody is from what I'm hearing. I mean, Walmart, Bass Pro. Every tackle shop everywhere is low on things.
You got these in left and right.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. But no, I've got a new shipment coming in. It's supposed to be in here within the next week. Okay. So we're going to be loading back up here real soon.
A lot of guys are asking about these dart spins. We got some more of them coming in, too.
Yes, a lot more dart spins coming in. And actually, I just saw Hyperlastics. Did you see what they had at ICAST?
No.
They have a dart prop now.
Oh, my God.
It's the Hyperlastic swim bait.
Like a buzz bait?
But it's got a propeller on the front and the back. And it's weedless. I think it's going to be a fantastic lure. I can't wait to have my hands on them.
Cornflower just turned in, but he stood us off today. Hey, Cornflower.
What's up, buddy? I miss you, man. I wish you were here. Right, so golly, dang. I know you're busy.
So whoever wants to get a chance at the Snakehead Fishing Trip from the Eastern Shore Fishing, Midshore Fishing Club, put in the comments right now. Give me that ticket. Give me that ticket. I'll give you that ticket for free.
First one gets it.
First one gets it. You can't win twice if you already put your name in there.
Cornflower probably win that.
So Damian, what is your favorite lure to use for snakehead fishing?
Oh, I'm definitely
We know what it is. I just want to hear it.
Well, you thought I was going to say minnows.
No. I knew you weren't saying no minnows.
You
said lure. I'm all about mega frogs, frogs.
Ribbit. That's what I say. Frogs.
Mega frogs and lunker hunt. That's my two favorite. Eddie knows I got one of each. Every time he gets them in the store, I have to get at least one of each color.
Rick Shack got the ticket, so we'll set that over there for him. Anything you want to add today? You think of
we got to do our angler spotlight of the week real quick.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Who was that, Gary?
Yeah, who got the angler's ultimate for the angler spotlight of the week? For those of you that don't remember, Eddie explained that how we're doing that every week.
Every week we pick our favorite picture out of Snakehead Life, and we spotlight that picture on the podcast, and the winner gets a free snakeheadlife.com sticker.
And you get this, we get this one. So every week, we're going to give you a different sticker. So nobody's going to have the same sticker. This will be like one of one. So you can either put it on your car, you can hold on to it, and one day it'll be worth millions and millions of dollars because there's only one out there.
I don't know about all that, but we'd like to dream.
But no, this week is Guy Edgar Jr.
Yeah, that's right.
Picture with the turtle.
That's right. Yeah, picture. That was a really neat picture.
Yeah.
Shows
the diversity of what they'll eat and how big.
Well, I think the coolest thing, and like you've all heard me for the last couple of years, how many times have you heard me say I watched them eat the turtle? This one had a turtle in its belly. So, and when guys see me out there throwing that big ugly prop turtle lure, God, that's one of the ugliest lures I've ever seen in my life. But I'm gonna tell you right now, that little prop turtle lure catches a lot of snakeheads, man. Especially in the places where there's turtles. You know what I mean? So you get down like 335, the ditches and places like that where you're throwing frogs. Don't be afraid to throw a little turtle.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I hooked a probably about a 15-pound snapping turtle the other week. Doing my little deal with my jigging across the bottom. He slammed the crap out of it. Pulling up, dragging out there, I had a big limb. I pulled him up and it just hooked in. The hook was kind of caught in the bottom of his mouth, and when I let slack, it just popped out. But it was a big turtle. He grabbed it.
Everybody's got to eat, Gary.
I was down Smithville, or not Smithville, Hip Roof, corner Hip Roof and 335 at this year one day, last year, and I was throwing a jawbone mouse. And you know how the sound, that sucking noise that snakehead makes when he hits that bait? I swear to God, I had the world record snakehead because when I'm coming by this grass, I was like, damn, missed him. Watch this. Go back. They're back in there again. Pop. Missed again. Oh, my God. Third time he hit it, and I sat there. I couldn't move it. Look at my buddy. I said, oh, my God, dude, this is the one, man. And then all of a sudden, dude, the thing started walking backwards, started coming up backwards, up out of the ditch. I seen his legs. That son of a bitch had to have been like 20. I mean, dude, it was massive, man. But it hit like a snakehead, that whole sucking sound. So that's why I thought it was a snakehead. Right. I kept going back there. I couldn't believe that thing, man.
Yeah. They'll hit. Well, turtles just like a frog or anything else. They're going to. When it comes by them quick, they're going to grab at it. It's a meal.
The good news for turtles is most of them are done pretty much with their spawning or whatever you want to call it for the year. So
they usually don't swallow it unless it's live bait.
Right.
They'll just grab it when it comes by, and it generally doesn't even hook into them. Just gets them into.
And snapping turtles, though, they don't play around, bro. They bite, dude. So I want to talk about some pop-up tournaments while we're here. So what are we thinking maybe, Eddie, for like maybe a pop-up tournament? Maybe September, October? I mean, what are we thinking? I know you got the baby coming. I want to try to get us one in here if we can. You know what I mean? So we'll revisit that this week and go through that again and see what we can come up with on that. But I think that we should have a pop-up tournament, maybe a couple little.
We'll do our best, but I know it's going to be tough for me with my schedule. I know that.
Maybe we'll have a tournament at Gary's house in the pond.
There you go.
All right, so what else we got on the agenda? Anything else you can think of?
No. You might as well give away a couple pints of minnows, I guess. You're giving away stickers and hats.
Giving away a lifetime.
Hold on. Gary, tell them about the prize that we're getting ready to give away.
We're getting ready to give a lifetime supply of minnows.
How you feel about that, Damien?
That is 1 minute. I can
message you.
1 minute a day for the rest of your life. Yeah, boy. Just
I'll
like
message you the address where to pick up.
Stand at the Corsi Bridge, say Big Liz 3 times, you'll see your minnows. Yeah,
it's not a lifetime supply of minnows, it's a lifetime supply of minnow. One per day.
Tom Elzewski says he needs minnows. Where are you at, Tom? We'll be done here in a minute. We'll get you all you want. All right, well, I guess it's time then, you think?
Yeah, I don't have any one mores, do you?
You got any one mores? Anything you want to say, Damien, before we go today?
I just want to thank you guys, man. You guys do a lot, you know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you do.
It.
You do the work. You're not out there having fun. You're like,
oh, I am.
You do the work.
We have a little bit of fun.
Gary is.
Eddie's slinging subs, answering phones.
Gary deserves it.
I'm hauling crabs, babysitting dogs, cleaning up dog shit. No,
I love my job.
We're having fun, too, but we're just busy, and you guys that. You do so much behind the scenes, you know. You took care of the county. You worked with the county. All that straight. Everything that comes at you, it's like you got to answer for it. You know, you will get it fixed. It's like, don't worry, no pressure. And I'm just glad to be part of the circle, man. It makes me happy. I'll tell you, I ain't has been this happy in all my life. I don't think.
Well, I got to say, you know, they always say, take a kid fishing. And I agree 100%. Nothing better to take a kid fishing and see him catch something. Second best is taking an adult fishing and watch the kid come out in
them. That's right.
Yeah. Hey, that's the truth.
You know,
like
I'm
that.
Telling you, man.
That's exactly. The truth.
I like that. It's time. It's now. The Sunday Fun Day giveaway. All right, folks, we'll give away a couple things here tonight from our good friends over at MEPS. Look, if you haven't caught fish, you haven't used MEPS. If you need to catch fish, you need a MEPS in your army. That's what we see out here at Blackwater's Edge. And if you're in the refuge and you need to catch snakeheads, a MEPS can make the difference on a tough day, I can tell you that. So this week, we're going to give away to Kyle Richard. Because I knew Gary had Kyle out this week, and he only
last
was
weekend.
And what did that post say?
Only thing to hit
was what?
MAPS.
A MAPS. Yeah. So put your MAPS Absolutely. In your armies. Look, from wickedstickers.com, my good friend Eris Matos, if you need pens, if you need hats, if you need stickers like this, if you need any kind of substrate or anything like that for your business, wickedstickers.com, he's your go-to man, my friend Eris Matos. Sandy Decker,
Kapow!
I'm going to give you the crab stand prize pack from wickedstickers.com. My good friend Mitch, one of the best chefs I know out there. Look, at Stonebridge Grill, you will find some fantastic food out there available. And look, they're true blue. All of their seafood, Maryland seafood, is true blue. So look, if you love some crab cakes, some soft crab sliders, anything like that, head on over to the Stonebridge Grill. Melissa Eaton, you're going to get the $20 gift card for the Stonebridge Grill. Outlaw Barbecue, my good friend Steve Rogers. Look, if you haven't had barbecue, you're just not an outlaw. That's how it is, folks. So look, if you want some good barbecue, head over to Outlaw Barbecue and check out my good friend Steve. And look, they got some of the, look, we love the pies. So we eat the pies here every week. Patrick brings down pies to us for us to eat, you know. And I mean, Damien's had them too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so Steve, we're eating the pies like crazy. We're all going to be in a diabetic coma by tomorrow, I promise. So look, for Chad Kitzmiller, you're going to get that gift card for the Outlaw Barbecue. From Blackwater's Edge, Guy Edgar, you're going to get this sticker this week, which Kapow! We already said that. That was for your picture with your turtle. From the Crab Stand, each of you are going to get one dozen mixed size guaranteed Maryland crabs from caught right here on the Eastern Shore in the little chop tank, the Honga River, the Nanticoke. Who knows where they're coming from, but they're all going to be fresh. They're all going to be good. They're all going to be full. So, we're going to go with...
Sing the jingle, Kay. Sing the jingle.
Not yet. All right, so look. So, John Urema, you Kapow! Get a dozen crabs. Don Kyle, K-I-E-L, Kapow! You get a dozen crabs. Nate Weaver, you get a dozen
Kapow!
Crabs. So now, before we go, like we do every week, we're going to sing our little crabby jingle out here at Blackwater's Edge in the studio. Gary, you going to jump in this week?
No chance.
And Eddie?
Absolutely not.
Damien, you want to help sing?
I don't know the jingle, but I sing along, sure.
Okay.
Go ahead. You start. I'll join.
Purple
chime
Rain,
in.
Take it away from Prince. Yeah.
All right, this could be really good. This could be really, really bad. All right, so here we go. My crabs, they have three first names. It's Heavy, Full, and Fat. My crabs, they have a fourth name. Absolutely mustard pat. You're doing bad,
man. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Go ahead. I don't want to mess it up.
So if you ask me where they're from, they're 100% guaranteed Maryland number ones. At the crab stand, here's a fact I know for sure, you're coming back. Kapow! 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 We'll see you next Thursday, folks. That was fun. Sure.